Wind Down with Janet Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Bonus episode. We got our girl, Sarah.
What's up, girl?
You're back. Okay, so we're going to get to your wedding and stuff, but I feel like we should save all of that for Monday's episode. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we should keep him waiting a little bit. Keep him waiting on that, because I think... do you know how many people... I don't know, Sarah, if you listened to the last episode, but Michael and I got into a fight about a shelf. And so I asked... It really wasn't about the shelf, you know? But I asked some people about, like, what they thought. And, you know, it was... Because I ask a lot of questions. Do you ask questions or no?
No.
You're not a question. Does Ty ask questions?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he does. Okay, so yeah. It's reversed. And so do you get annoyed when he asks questions?
Yeah.
That's my girl.
You're just like, yeah.
I try, but I'm very conscious of it. Like, I know that I get snappy, so I try to not, and then I just end up ignoring him. But that doesn't work, because then he keeps asking over and over and over again.
Someone just goes, I completely understand both sides, but mainly Jana's side. It's because I'm guilty of doing the same thing. I question what my boyfriend does all the time when it comes to handiwork or cooking or something. I'm used to doing all of the handiwork. So when he does it, I question him constantly. I think it's an anxiety that I have about not being in control. Since quarantine, we moved into a new apartment. We had to put up all the shelves and mirrors, and we've been fighting constantly about it. I think even when I'm just curious, he goes into defense mode and thinks I'm questioning his capability. You're not the only one. This quarantine has been rough.
You know, but what I will defend on her side is she said she's normally the one that does the handiwork and cooks.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that a little bit more. I can understand... if, you know, I was doing something that's in your realm,
sure,
and you're asking me questions. But when you're questioning something that you wouldn't do, that's more in my world, that's where I'm like, trust my judgment.
Someone else
I'm not going to steer you wrong. I'm not an idiot.
Someone else goes, I'm laughing so hard at this week's podcast. I swear my husband repeats things that I say to him in the bitchiest voice, and I get so frustrated because in my mind, it was a normal comment, and he filters it so mean. And I love this. I love that comment so much, because it's so true, because I feel like when we say things, you like the filter that you guys filter our voices, it's like...
Oh, and you guys don't do that to us?
Oh, we do all the time.
Right. Ty will literally be like, I'm going to put my phone over there and like record the next hour because you're delusional. The way you talk, I'm like, I never said that. He's like, no, I'm doing it. He always is like, God, I wish I could just follow you around.
I've referenced this book 1,000 times now, but the Love and Respect book, he even starts by talking about how women hear and see through a pink filter and men hear and see through a blue filter. So we just hear and see things differently. And pink and blue, I'm not being... sexist or gender or whatever. It's just the example he uses. Use whatever colors you want out there.
I see through a black filter.
But it's just your filter. And so you filter things differently, even though, I mean, we say that all. We both try to say that the other one was like passive or attitude. And when we say it, we're like, no, I said it like this. Like I was totally just like, oh my gosh, what are you doing?
It's just,
I heard like, what are you doing?
No, sometimes I literally think to myself and I'm like, wait, I'm going to lie right now and I'm going to do a different voice, even though I know I didn't say it in that voice, but I'm like, no, I didn't. I actually said it like this. And I'm like, you're such a liar.
It's so funny though, because I do feel a lot of times you don't know your harsh tone. So like when it comes to something, you'll say no. And to you, that means no, but you say it no.
So you're way more of a direct person than I am. So I don't want to hear it about tone.
I can say yes to that because I am more direct. But I feel like you should know my intention. Just like it's a double standard. I'm calling it out right now. I'm 1,000% double standarding it. 1,000%. I want you to be softer, but yet I can say no. A total double standard. Someone just goes, I'd have to say I'm team Mike on this one. I'm over time being overly inquisitive can make it appear as though you don't trust his ability to complete tasks. I know that's how I would feel if I was constantly being questioned. It's one thing if he's showing you how to do something that you may do yourself in the future. But if he's completing a task that you're not assisting with or need to do in the future, there's no point in asking.
Amen. Just trust him. Whoever that is.
Okay. No, Please? I agree. I did ask for some people to send in some questions too. And I'm curious to see if anyone came through. So we're on our Wind Down podcast. It's the Wind Down Podcast Instagram. If you guys have any questions, just DM.
Into our DMs. DM.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions, just DM us at the Wind Down Podcast. It's up and running. We're going back through old episodes. And please DM us, Wind Down Podcast. Someone just says...
Or hit me up on my fake Instagram account, Michael C. Cost. Someone... I guess that's when you know you've made it, huh?
Oh, there's a fake you out there?
Yeah.
Or is it really his? Dun, dun, dun. Oh,
I just think it's funny of all, like, why me?
Hey, someone just goes, because you're catfish. You.
Nothing.
Because they want to catfish people.
Catfish.
Don't say you're nothing. You're everything. How do you maintain connections with your extended friends in the area because of the situation? How do you maintain your therapy sessions in these times? Do you continue to practice the skills you have learned already? Rob. We just Skyped our therapist yesterday. Which I think went really well.
Yeah.
It was great.
I was supposed to have individual therapy last night. And I was like, hey, man, we had a great couple sessions. I'm good. Which isn't the reason not to have a individual, but we just met last week. So
should we tell them what we learned in therapy yesterday?
Yes. Do tell.
It is on this topic.
It's actually, it would help in situations. It's very much on this topic. And we told our couples therapists about the shelf argument. So our therapist, actually, this goes along with it, gave us a really good thing that we can do next time when we're in that shelf argument. So for all the people that are maybe asking questions or really connected to this week's podcast, this is maybe how they can deal with it. Do you want to tell them, Mike?
Sure. So he gave us the idea to create characters for this other part of ourself. So for Jana... The inquisitive part of her personality
that asks questions like, oh, is this gonna, like, for the shelf thing, like, is this sturdy enough? Is this the
right,
rock?
That's just, are you sure you're doing that right?
Yeah. the part of her that's just genuinely curious, that doesn't have any strategic reason behind the question, I thought of that as being like Tweety Bird. So if we're in the middle of something and I'm working on a project and Jana starts to ask me a question or two and I start to get heightened and I want to feel defensive, I can be like, hey, is this Tweety Bird or is there something behind this? Like, are you just asking because it's just you're curious and it's just you just being like little bird flying around my head, just like, hey, what's that? What's that? What's this do?
Trying
what's that?
To get in my head.
Right. Or is it Jana who has some feelings behind something and is asking for a reason? So if she says, nah, this is just Tweety Bird, it's like, all right, yeah. And
so then he won't be defensive. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think there's an ulterior motive behind it.
Yeah.
And then on my side, it's that my character is the negative side of me. So, you know, if we start to have a conversation and she feels me getting heightened or defensive, she can be like, hey, you know, what I'm seeing is, so I'm like the Tasmanian devil. So
I'm like, are you being Taz right now? So he can check himself. But it's like a funny way to like see these cartoon characters.
Instead of her saying,
why are you being defensive?
Why are you being defensive? Or stop being defensive. Because it's just like, as soon as she says stop being defensive, I'm like, I'm not being defensive. I'm only defensive because you're calling me defensive.
Yeah.
So really, we're looking forward to using that in the next time this comes up. Because I really do think it'll help. Especially, I know in my situation... For her not to say, stop being defensive or why are you being defensive? For her being like, hey, I'm getting like Taz right now. Is that you? Or so I can check myself or I can be like, oh, no, I'm sorry if my just energy was up a little bit. But no, let me bring it back down.
Yeah. So that was a good thing that we learned. But yeah.
So creative
character. Have you and Ty gotten into any quarantine rifts at all? Or I mean, I feel like you guys don't fight at all. But I mean, is there anything that's kind of like been bugging you? They're like, oh.
I've been fine, honestly, because I'm such an introvert that like, I don't really, I'm living a normal life. I don't really like to leave my house anyways. And I think that that's annoying him because multiple times he'll say, he said it to me multiple times, I feel like you're like okay with this. Like, I feel like you're not going crazy, because he's going crazy. He has to be out of the house all day. Like, he doesn't do well in this. And I am reading books. I'm watching all my shows. Like, we don't have kids. So, you know, I'm for the most part, I'm still cooking. I'm still cleaning. Like, I do that anyways for him. So my life, besides the fact that I haven't seen anyone from the outside world, isn't that crazy, but that really bothers him that I'm okay. And so he keeps getting snappy with me, being like, why is this not bothering you? Like, why? You're used to this. Like, you don't even care. And I'm like, calm down. Like, I know that this is hard for you, but that's really been the most thing. It's hard for him. And he just takes it out and gets snappy.
I mean, I'm with you. I could hibernate like a bear right now.
Oh, if we literally goes, kids. You don't even leave the bed with your iPad. And I'm like, well, that's because that's where I feel the safest, in bed with my iPad, watching my shows. I can read my books and watch my shows on my iPad. Like, and it's, he's well, going insane.
He's also, but, I mean, like, Ty is very much like me. He's high strung. He's got a lot of anxiety, and he's casting his anxieties out on you because exactly. He's so anxious and uncomfortable.
So I'm doing what I can to like make him feel better. We've been going on bike rides and walks. And
where are you guys at exactly right now? What state?
We're in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Colorado. So right before LA, like, or the California issued like
the stay at home.
Whatever. What's it called? Stay at home. We had left like 4 hours earlier, and we're literally on our way, and it's like we got the notification. So we just were planning on getting out because he gets sick really easily. He has a really bad immune system. Mm. And there was a bunch of cases where we lived in LA. And so we were like, let's just get out, because he was really, things like this keep him up late at night. Like, he's very, very, and we all are, we're all scared, we're all petrified, but I try and think of other things. And this is really a lot. This is in his head a lot.
For sure. Well, I'm glad that you recognize, you know, his, you know, what's happening, and you guys are going to be just fine because you're newlyweds. But hey, we have a special guest for this week's surprise episode. So let's take a break, and then let's bring our special guest on.
Check 1, 2.
Hey!
One second.
Sorry, my wife is taking care of our daughter right now. She's this is her screen time. While we
that's more important. I can always call back later.
No, you're good. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How about yourself, man?
Can't complain. You know, just trying to stay safe like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least it only requires us staying at home.
Right? It could be worse.
Oh my goodness.
It could be worse.
Hello.
Hey,
Michael.
What's up?
Do you want to do the intro?
Sure.
Since you're the biggest fan on earth, and we got, this is the second time now being
yes,
like,
exactly,
yeah,
just being amazed.
All right, so Jana and Amy and everyone's decided to surprise me again with our boy Sean Stockman from Boys to Men. So give it up for Sean.
Woo-hoo! Quarantine style. Are you in your pajamas?
Yeah, I am, actually.
That's awesome.
I think I have those.
He is in.
I got the red plaid polos on, man.
I mean, you're just living your best life right now. Just in your bathing suit, in your PJs all day. I mean,
What else is there to do? Listen, I haven't shaved in about 2 weeks. It's like,
I adjusted yesterday because I couldn't take it anymore. I was trying to keep it going. I reached my point. I was like, time to go.
Itchy, huh?
I'm just going, you know, all natural, man. Like, you know, just kind of whatever. Man.
How old are the kids again? Good.
Say again?
How old are the kids again?
My kids, my boys are 16. Okay. They're twins, and my daughter is 10.
So are you doing the homeschooling?
I am, and it is frustrating.
Yeah. So, okay.
As hell.
Yeah. So how are you doing that? Because we were just talking about it, like, our daughter, it can be very frustrating because I'll tell her and then she says it right, but then 2 seconds later I'll point to the letter or the number and then she'll say a different one. And I'm like, you just said it a second ago.
Well, here's my issue. I'm not a PC guy, right? Mm-hmm. So I use Apple computers. You know, mm-hmm. most singers and artists, we're Apple people. Yeah. So our school hands us all the students, these PC computers, right? Where we have to log on and get my daughter's lessons. You know, she's in the fourth grade. So a lot of the tabs and the steps, you got to click on this, and you got to go to this, and then go to that. And then when you see that, you got to click this document, and then you got to hit that, and then you got to... And just that alone?
Oh, my gosh.
There's no muscle memory. You're learning a whole thing, whole brand new system. Oh, my goodness.
It is annoying. It's all hell. And then it's a lot of work. So I'm doing the homework. I'm literally, you know what I mean? Like, you know, my daughter's writing the stuff down, but I'm literally walking it through because she gets frustrated because she's like, you know, I want to play Roblox with my friends. And I'm like, well,
you're
you
like,
can't
so
do
I.
That until, me too. I got Call of Duty like right behind right. you guys. Like, listen, right. I got to, you know what I mean? Like, listen, this is what I want to do. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, so I find myself doing homework literally for 2 hours, 3 hours a day.
Wow. Oh, my.
Because of the workload. So, you know, my wife and I, we're frustrated because we're calling the teacher from home and we're texting her and we're like, yo, we don't understand what this is and that. So she's walking us through it and all this other stuff. I'm pulling my head. Yo, God bless the teachers.
Absolutely.
We really Amen. Don't understand how much they go through until you have to homeschool. And you're like, whoa, when are they going back?
Right. Right. That's going to be a celebration.
Not this year, probably. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. Yeah. It's done.
The school year is over, especially in California. Like, you know, the governor basically said it's a wrap.
Right.
The superintendent in, you know, LAUSD, they was basically like, it's over. So, you know, we'll be homeschooling. So fortunately, it's spring break. So there's no homework now.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Call of Duty all day.
Yeah, man. But yeah, it's been nuts, guys. You're not the only ones. You're not alone.
Well, no. I just feel bad because our four-year-old is just, I mean, I'm trying to just, you know, she's four. So it's not like we're learning math and multiplication, but at the same time, I'm like, how do you not know that's A? It's A. You say A, B, A through Z. That's A.
Right.
Right.
Right. And that's the
Why
thing.
Are you calling it K?
It's not that you don't know the answer. It's you have to make sure that they understand the answer.
Why? Yeah.
So why? So you have to go into a teacher mode that I don't know how to teach. You know what I'm saying? I just know that. 4 + 4 = 8.
Right. It is because it is.
But
yeah. because that's why it is.
Right.
Because that's why. And I've got as frustrated to say because even with multiplication, how I learned multiplication
memorizing.
As a kid was memorizing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do the Common Core where you had to get 6 apples and then
what?
4 peas in a pod and then, you know, 3 bananas and you got to put this together and then you got to switch it and then you got to do it
nope.
in some sort of weird, like, it's crazy. No, 6 × 4 = 24.
You know, because you know, that's it. They're complicating it with all this new stuff.
I just pray that this does not come around when it hits that age because I'd be like, I'm out. Because I don't even know my multiplication.
No, it's gonna be even crazier when they get older. I can't even help my sons with their homework.
Yep. The 16-year-olds.
Like, they're learning, like, stuff I didn't even learn in high school.
Right.
Oof. So it's like, all right, you got it. So he has a tutor, and he basically buries his face. He's a good student, thank God. But, like, I'm like, I can't even help him. Like, I can't even help him.
Right. He's teaching you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm useless.
So when you're not dealing with the kids and all that stuff, I know you got your solo album, right, Forward, coming out Friday. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
That's
so
awesome.
Yes.
Congratulations. Do you think this is beneficial to the business of that because of the quarantine, or do you think it's not affecting music in any way?
I hate to say it, but yes.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the music business is not suffering because now people are able to stay home and discover new things musically. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Like music, the music business and Netflix are caking right now
killing.
Because there's nothing else to do but sit at home, watch documentaries. I just saw Tiger King.
We're about to start it.
I don't know if I can. I don't know.
Then I'm pulling the trigger without you.
Do it.
No,
do it.
No, it's bananas. It's good.
Okay. All right. I'll give you one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Tiger King is crazy. Tiger King is crazy.
We just finished Ozark, but
okay, I got I gotta finish that. I gotta. I'm finishing the third season of Stranger Things. I'm way behind.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, and again, you get to watch Netflix and Prime Video and Discover Music. So I hate to say it, but it's to my advantage
for sure
that I'm releasing a record at this time, because people will get an actual chance to sit and listen to it. And this is the type of album that I created and my intention behind it. I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. I wanted to create good, soulful music that you can play in environments such as this. And it's a perfect backdrop. So if you're doing homework with your kids, or if you're cooking dinner, or if you're preparing certain things, or just kind of sitting around lounging, you can play my album and it not intrude in any way, shape, or form. It's just good music behind your ears. And that's all I wanted to create.
That's amazing. I always have music on when I'm cooking in the kitchen. So Friday is definitely going to be listening to Forward as I'm cooking dinner. I got to plan a good meal Friday then while I'm cooking that.
There you go. And I had to look out for the couples like yourselves. I did create a nice little sexy record.
My man.
When the kids go to sleep and you want to create, you know, procreate some more. So
Sarah's trying to make a quarantine baby, so she's on it.
Sean, are there any tracks on that album that maybe stand above the rest? I'm sure all of them are fantastic, but maybe just some that hit home to you personally a little bit more?
Well, there is a song that I kind of, it's based on a true story or inspired by a true story.
Okay.
In the sense of, it's not necessarily all true, but it's the intent behind it created the story for me. And sometimes when I write songs, it's not always my personal experiences, but what I might have seen someone else go through, and I put myself in it. Mm-hmm. There's an acoustic song called Don't Spare My Heart, where it's literally talking about a guy, you know, who's doing the typical guy thing, which is basically busy with so many other things except the relationship. And it's gotten so bad to the point where the woman is just fed up and she wants to leave. So the chorus is basically, don't spare my heart. Tell me everything. Rip me apart with all your truths. We know we're at the point of now or never. If you still care, please don't spare my heart. Basically saying, tell me everything.
That's because awesome.
I don't want you to go. Tell me everything that I did, every bad thing that everything that I neglected, whatever, because I need to hear the truth, no matter how painful it is.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So don't spare me. You know what I'm saying? Tell me everything, man, because I want this to work out.
How many times have you basically said that to me?
1,001.
Yeah. I've lost count. That's amazing. I can't wait to listen
to that. Now I'm going to start saying that. Don't spare my heart. Please,
don't
just tell me
heart.
The damn truth.
Yeah, that's it.
That's amazing.
It. So that's one that sticks out for me.
That's awesome. Well, I hope everyone goes out and takes advantage of this time to really dive deep into that. And
are you still going to be doing any tour stuff later this year? I mean, I know a lot of stuff is pushed back, but are you and the boys going back out? Or,
I mean, as soon as we can. You know, I just talked to my manager yesterday, and the way it looks, man, and this is kind of daunting, but, you know, it is what it is. For people to really feel
safe,
comfortable, and safe. I don't see us going back out until maybe September.
Yeah, I've heard August, September.
You know,
Yeah.
Sean, I'm sure you're a sports fan as well, and you know, watching on all this stuff, and just, you know, every day they're playing with these theories of, you know, these almost bio city where just athletes are in there and they just play games with no fans and all this stuff. And I understand the idea behind getting sports back on television, but all it takes is one person to get sick.
That's all it takes.
And it blows up everything. And so it's like, why is it even worth it? Like you're talking about with a torn, it's like, until people feel safe, why even do that? What's the rush? Don't, you know, exactly.
Well,
I urge everybody to just stay home, because the truth is, we still really don't know what this virus is. Like, there's still new things coming out. A lot of people said, oh, your animals can't get it. Just yesterday, my wife told me that it was a cat in New York, a tiger.
A tiger.
That has the coronavirus.
Oh.
So it's not, it's still very, very much in its early stage as far as like what the virus is, let alone.
There's so much unknown surrounding
it. It's so many unknowns. So the best thing for all of us to do is to just sit at home and just buy the Forward album and just listen to it.
1,000%.
There's absolutely a repeat. There's a repeat button for a reason.
There is.
Keep it on repeat.
Hey, let's Alexa. Go. Hey, Siri. Play it again. I mean, you're an artist, you know, true and true, because you just, you know, circled that all up and wrapped it together in a little tiny bow. I mean, I love that so much. And everyone, go get your album on Friday. And
I want to help.
That's it. That's
the best thing that you can do. I mean, you're soulful. Your music is amazing. You're an incredible artist, and I'm really excited to listen to your music on your album that comes out on Friday, and just see all my day. Handsome husband cook and listen to your music.
We're gonna be waking up to it, going to bed to it. It's gonna be awesome.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, man. You know, just use it accordingly. You know, you feel me?
Absolutely, absolutely. Sean, we appreciate your time as always, brother. It'll always be a surprise to me to talk to you. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day, man.
Good to
see
you.
You guys are always the sweetest. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you, bro.
Have a good one, guys. Bye. All right.
I'll make love to you like you want me to. Boys to Men, baby. Oh,
it's happening.
It's like a cup of coffee, man. I'm re-energized right now.
Oh.
He loves Boys to Men. Like, obsessed. Did you even intro him as being a part of Boys to Men?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
I think
because I'm
did.
Like,
it doesn't even matter.
He's just so
if you don't know, you don't deserve to know.
Now you know.
You don't know.
That's how I feel
about
it.
How'd you like your little bonus episode surprise, babe?
I mean, you guys get me every time, and it's amazing. And like I said, it'll always be a surprise to be able to talk to him. And he's been so super sweet to us. And
you just want to be down on bended knees?
And I should have gotten his gamer tag so we can play Call of Duty or something together.
Oh, you missed it,
babe.
It's pajamas.
I can get Janet to slide into his DMs.
I'd be like, hi, this is actually not.
Hey, my husband wants to know what your gamer tag is.
He wants to know
game
what your
tag.
Gamer tag.
That's funny.
Hey, let's do a couple emails. Actually, not emails. They're DMs now. Let's do that. If you DM us at the Wind Down Podcast, you can find us there and DM us. And we're going to read some DMs today. So we have how long did it take for you guys to have Jolie? My husband and I have been married for 2 years, and I finally started to try. I don't want to get my hopes up, but I'm also hoping it doesn't take forever. And this is actually, you know, for Sarah too, because I know you're going to be trying right now. For us, it took us a while. Had some fertility issues, and I wouldn't have known about that if I didn't get an HSG done, which is basically a test that your gynecologist can do. They flush your fallopian tubes to see if your fallopian tubes are blocked. And mine, it doesn't hurt, Sarah. I see your face. It does not hurt.
Flushing of the fallopian.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Little... Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't hurt. They just put this little dye in there. And it basically what I saw was that
there's some scar tissue.
Yeah. One of my tubes was blocked, and they're like, you're not going to be able to get pregnant. And I just remember being just like so devastated. And what did I have done?
Hysteroscopy.
So I had hysteroscopy to remove the scarring. And then when we were doing that, I was like, all right, well, let's do some IVF and get some eggs out. And long story short, got pregnant, lost. But then the next cycle we had Jolie. So, it kind of all, worked out there, but you know, it's some people get pregnant really easy. Some people don't. And so I would just say to those trying, there's no good time to get pregnant. And if you think that you're going to plan it out perfectly, you're not. Like, that there's like a 1% of you actually planning it out. It's a lot harder to get pregnant than you think. Mike, you have an email, don't you, babe? Or a DM?
This is a DM. It's just from, she said, Canadian girl. The title is Nudity on TV. I've been married for a few years and recently had our second baby 3 months ago, and I'm slowly making my way back to my pre-baby weight. My husband and I have a very healthy and strong marriage with no infidelity, but I can't help to feel jealous and insecure when nudity comes on TV and in movies. I'm not a jealous person to begin with, but when nudity comes on, I feel upset that my husband is looking at another woman. I've mentioned this to him, and he was so incredibly great at saying that he isn't a 12-year-old boy who gets excited when he sees a naked girl. How do I get over my own insecurities? Jana, do you feel this way about nudity? Mike, is my husband being sincere when he says the nudity doesn't excite him? So, for my part of the question, yes, he is being sincere. And especially with you guys having no infidelity issues or anything like that, even me with our history and, you know, the title of being in recovery for sex addiction, seeing something on TV isn't taboo, if that makes sense. And a lot of, you know, the addiction side is things that are not public. Not, it's all about secret. Everything with like addiction lives in secret, like no matter what kind of addiction. So there's nothing out of the ordinary for that. So that's never, for me personally, never done anything. I don't know if I know a man that it necessarily gets him excited or anything like that. It's just, you're watching a movie. It's part of culture and it's different.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of time, I guess girls are different. I was gonna say a lot of the time, I guess they do show boobs. Like you can show rated R, you can show boobs. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm like, what kind of nudity? But I guess like sex scenes, she can do like a full frontal.
I mean, there are definitely some scenes that I've gotten uncomfortable and just cause it's a trigger from the past, but I usually do a good job just being like, I feel uncomfortable, or can we fast forward this part? Or
yeah. And I share those feelings with you when we're together.
Yeah.
And honestly, even I've noticed myself doing that. And this is just being completely honest. Watching things on Netflix, and if there's a scene that comes up, like a sex scene or whatever, and it's going on longer than it really needs to, I hit the little, 30-second fast forward. And that's just because I'm uncomfortable too. And I'm not saying it's bad to sit there and watch. I'm not saying anything anyone has to do, but that's just me. I've noticed that I've gotten more uncomfortable, and I think it's out of the issues that Jana and I have dealt with that I'm like, I don't really need to be watching this. Yeah, I don't need this. I get the point. Okay, I get the point. Move on. You know, I'm not in it to watch it for that. So, yeah.
I mean, I think we all agree in sex scenes. I'm usually like, okay, that was moving on.
Yeah.
Right. It's okay. Yeah.
Going off of what you just said, though, about sex addiction, someone DM'd us saying, my question is about how to best support a family member who is struggling with sex addiction. My brother-in-law has just recently told my husband and I that he is a sex addict. He's going to therapy and taking steps to recovery. My husband and I have made it very clear to him that we are proud of him for facing this, and we are here to support him through this. Mike and Jana, do you have any advice on what are some ways that we can support him during this time? Specifically, I'm curious how to support him when he's not my significant other, so I know he's not going to tell me everything, or it's easier to lie to us about things. But from a family member's standpoint, Mike, what are some things your family or friends did to help support you? That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
I feel like especially during like quarantine, I bet addiction is like 10 times harder for people to be dealing with.
Well, and I'm sure maybe a porn addiction too is even just.
Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. Like in general, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Stuck at home.
Yeah. Alcohol. Yeah. All of it.
That's actually a really good question. And my answer to that is actually ask him questions.
Oh, interesting.
So
from a man who doesn't like questions, ask him questions. See how it all comes back to the circle.
The table's up.
Yeah. The reason I say that is because as someone in a program and in that program, when I've been more moved when I've had friends or family ask me about it.
And you almost want to talk about it too.
I do, only because then it kind of normalizes it more.
Well, and it's probably therapeutic for you to
talk about. And it's not that I want to. I don't want to vent to my friends or my family about it because they're not there for that. I'm not going to unload on them. with things that they might not understand, but by them asking questions, it allows me to feel more comfortable with who I am. And I don't feel like I have to make up stories that they're ashamed or they think it's weird or they don't understand. Or so ask him questions to know that you're truly there for him and that you're interested in helping and that he can talk to you about it. Because I'm not just going to start talking to friends or family about it that haven't said anything, you know. But those friends and family members that have asked questions, I feel more comfortable around them.
And I almost feel like a lot of times, too, you're like, hey, I kind of want to say something so that they know that they can ask me questions and that it's not uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I don't know. I feel like the people that – if your friends that you have talked to, you all have a – greater understanding and a greater it seems like a stronger relationship from an outsider's point of view.
No, it is. I mean, even some of my closest buddies, when I was on a trip with them last year, and I don't remember how it came up, the topic of masturbating or something came up, and I think one of them was saying, oh, I haven't, you know, masturbated in like a week or something. I don't remember how it came up. I was like, oh, it's been however many, you know, days or whatever. They're like, what? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I am a sex addict, guys. Like, surprise. You guys have, like, you know all of this information. You're like four of my closest friends, but this is part of my program. I don't do that.
Yeah.
And so even just that, breaking that ice, even with guys who know me so well and know a lot of my story, know most of my story, are still learning things about it because not all of them ask questions, and that's okay. They don't have to, but I just want to know that they can. I want them to know that they can, and I want to know that I can feel comfortable around them.
Yeah, I like that.
That's good.
Well, this is a really fun little bonus episode. I hope all of you guys are staying healthy, staying at home. And Sarah, yeah, you'll want to come back next week because I want to give everybody just a wedding recap and see how everything is.
I've got time.
Check your calendar.
Check my cal.
All right.
Stay home. Wash your hands.
Stay home. Wash your hands. Don't touch your eyes, face, nose, everything. Just stay home. Okay. Yeah. Love you guys. And we're thinking of you guys. And see you next week.
All right.
Bye.